Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now here's your host, Alf.
And welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live for April 3rd, 2024. And I'm marking this day because it's kind of a momentous day around here, and I'll commemorate it in a few minutes. But this is the only show that you can participate live if you are a member of our Discord. If you want to become a member of our Discord, you go to discord.gg/OnlyFins. discord.gg/OnlyFins. And you can become a member there for $3 a month. This show is also brought to you by Prize Picks. If you're an out-of-stater, use the promo code FIVE, F-I-V-E. You deposit $100, you get $100. And factormeals.com. Go to factormeals.com. We have a dedicated page over there at factormeals.com/3yardsper carry 50. That's the number 3 yards per carry 50. The number 50. And then you use the same promo code, 3 yards per carry 50. And you get 50% off your first order. Factormeals.com. All right. What are we going to talk about today? I know. Ding dong, the witch is dead? Maybe. Looks that way. First of all, Kendall Lamb is back on a one-year deal. We don't know the number. My guess is it's not a big number. They didn't have that much cap space to begin with. They're getting a lot of it come June. I think some of it is dependent on some of that money in June is probably earmarked for a certain wide receiver. That's my guess. Who knows what that offer is? Who knows if Odell Beckham is just, you know, lying on the beach until June 2nd? You know, that would make some sense, right? Why he hasn't signed a deal and why he has an offer in hand. So, that was the big Dolphin news of the day. But in my opinion, the bigger Dolphin news of the day is that Stephon Diggs has been traded out of the division for essentially a bag of peanuts. They're giving up a fifth and a sixth to trade him. They're taking a $31 million dead cap hit. And they're getting a second-round pick back. Oh, yeah, goody, right? But not this year's draft. Next year's draft. So that's like a third-round pick. Remember, picks are always devalued around 1 year out. So how are they going to fill the void? Well, first of all, you don't fill that void. I've seen the cope all day today. Ah, he was actually trash. Yeah. Yep, Stephon Diggs was trash. Yeah, sure, whatever you say. Or maybe they changed their offense at midseason, and his targets were nearly cut in half. They went from 11.25 to 7. That's almost 5 targets less per game. That's a lot. I know some people say, oh, I'm not a math major. I was a math major. That's a lot. Okay? His targets got shorter. The offense became much more conservative. They ran the ball more. They also won more. So, you know, I guess that says something about the quarterback, right? To put the ball in the hands of running backs and receivers on short routes instead of putting the game in the hands of their quarterback and they start winning more. I know who they say that about a lot. It's another quarterback in the same division. Hint. But, yeah, this is a good day for the Miami Dolphins. We shall see the movement on the betting lines. There's been some movement already, if you're paying attention. Dolphins, you could have gotten firmly plus 200 on them to win the division before today. They were the second favorite behind the Buffalo Bills. We shall see tomorrow. It usually takes a day for these things to settle. We shall see where their number is at. There is some betting pressure on the Jets as well. So the Jets are a couple of sites that I checked. One was trailing the Dolphins. The other one was tied with the Dolphins at plus 200 for second place to win the division. There's always a ton of betting pressure on the Jets. When I say there's a ton of betting pressure on the Jets, I usually mean that there's a lot of suckers in New York. Like, I don't know what it is with that state, but they love blowing a lot of money on their sports teams. They love betting their sports teams. I remember some houses had the Knicks as favorites over the Heat in the second round. And I kept thinking to myself about like I was stealing money when I bought the Heat at +215 to win that series. Of course, one game in, the Heat were favorites to win that series. New Yorkers are suckers, especially when it comes to betting their sports teams. They bet up all of their teams. So we shall see how this settles in a day from now. But to say that this was a good day, yeah, this was a good day. This was not a bad day. Trust me when I tell you, this is a very, very good day. Forget all those coping mechanisms people are using out there. This is a guy that has absolutely eviscerated you this past 4 or 5 years. Really, since he got there, he's been tormenting you. Last year, he was a complete, total pain in the ass in both games, including the second game when everybody was saying, he's garbage. Yeah, okay. He had a very important 87 yards in a game where Josh Allen really wasn't getting a ton through the air. So, yeah, today is a good day to be a Dolphin fan. Dolphins have a lot of advantages here. They should be winning this division. Not only should they be winning this division this year, they should be winning it a lot in coming years. They're in a division where they are going to be able to see the fruits of the labor of the framework they've laid down. Believe it or not, people want to play with Tua Tagovailoa if you're on offense. They want to play for Mike McDaniel. They don't like being robbed by the tax man. They play in a division with two teams from New York and one from New England, Massachusetts. They have a ton of advantages. It's about time to start taking advantage of them. There's a reason why Miami won so many division titles for so long until it was completely flipped on its head by the New England Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. They should get back to that again. Patriots are completely hopeless. Like, they're going to suck forever. I don't care who the fuck they draft. Whoever they draft is probably going to be a bust. They just can't. They're the gang that can't shoot straight. The Jets are hoping for a 40-year-old conspiracy theorist, podcast specialist, to rise from the dead and be good again. They're also hoping on a bunch of injured and probably not that good anymore offensive linemen. Although I do like that John Simpson signing. Great signing by the Jets. That's a really, really nice signing. Everybody else on that offensive line is injured and it's iffy. And they're a couple injuries away from 6-11 once again. Well, anyway, the queue is full. I wonder what everybody wants to talk about. I'm going to get to them. I'm going to stop rambling myself. All right, as I bring you up, identify yourself so that way our audience knows who you are. All right, you're up. As I bring you up, identify yourself.
Hi, Alf. Hi, everyone. This is Dundee Dolphin. Alf, I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Starting with a re-sign today. I think sometimes when you sign a player, you just signed a player, and sometimes when you sign a player, you kind of feel like you're starting to see the future take shape. What do you think Kendall Lamb's re-signing today tells us about our draft intentions, especially in early rounds, and what does it tell us about what we might do with any offensive linemen that we draft in terms of how we'll use them next season?
Yeah, I think that the Kendall Lamb signing says a ton. I think that they are no longer in the market for that guy that's going to slot in as a starter in case Teron Armstead goes down. That's gone. So if they happen to be lucky enough, and I really do think that this guy's going to be a nice player, Troy Fatano. If they're capable of drafting Troy Fatano at 21, I doubt it. I think he's going to go before then. But let's say they do. And let's say Teron Armstead is out in week 4, which is always likely. I don't think you're going to see Troy Fatano move from left guard to left tackle. I just don't. I think you'll see Kendall Lamb in there at left tackle. And I think you'll see Troy Fatano stay at left guard for the time being until he trains on as the left tackle a year from now or a year after he gets drafted. So I think that they've settled on what's outside. It's Teron Armstead, it's Austin Jackson, it's Jack Driscoll in a pinch if they need it, and Kendall Lamb is the swing guy at left tackle and right tackle. Plus, they like young guys in Keon Smith and Ryan Hayes. Do not sleep on Ryan Hayes. I think Ryan Hayes is, I don't think he's a roster guy. I think Keon Smith is a roster guy this year. But I think Ryan Hayes gets protected onto the practice squad, and that's a guy that they're going to give a further look this year. He's probably not an NFL player right now. He absolutely has pretty damn good pass pro chops. And you'll see it in training camp. And, well, not even training camp. Watch the preseason games. He should get a lot of playing time. He was good last year. Watch him again this year. There's something there. I'm not saying that it's going to happen for him. But will he be protected on the practice squad? I think he will this year. I think he will. It says something that they unprotected him. He went somewhere else. The first chance they got to grab him back, they did.
Yeah. Do you think it moves the needle at all in terms of us taking a purely interior offensive lineman?
I don't think so because of Chris Greer's background on this, but I wouldn't put it past them, you know, especially at 55. I think 55 is now more likely. I've been trying to like game plan this thing back and forth, and I kind of alluded to it on our last podcast that we did on Monday. I was talking about where's the value in this draft? Is the value at 21 or 55 for wide receiver, or is the value at 21 or 55 for a defensive tackle or an offensive lineman? I think for the better interior offensive lineman, the value is at 21. But there's a strong case to be said. Look, do not settle for this wide receiver 3 spot if you are convinced that Xavier Leggett or Xavier Worthy or whoever is the wide receiver you want at 21. You're not going to trade down and take a chance. At 55, man, Christian Mahogany or, you know, or my favorite, Christian Haynes, they could be there at 55. You know, that's, you know, I don't think that's completely out of the realm of possibility, right? That might be the right move. And there's going to be time to talk about this, and we got 3 weeks to the run-up to the draft, but it's they have that decision to make, in my opinion. Defensive tackle could be in the cards at 21 because there's a possibility that Byron Murphy drops to you. And, you know, but then again, you know, do you want Byron Murphy and that, you know, that 40 snap a game guy, or will you just settle for the 15 snap a game guy and sweat at 55? They have a lot of choices as far as where the value is going to go. And if you followed everything I just said, the value seems to point away from interior offensive lineman at 21, doesn't it?
That's interesting you said that. That sort of takes me on to my second question, and it might be that you've just answered it, but I've probably consumed more evaluations and watched more tape this offseason than I have in previous years, and my view on a couple of players and the kind of outlook for the team and our needs has changed, and sometimes going back and forward. What have you changed your mind about in that process, and what do you feel differently about now that when the offseason began you kind of felt differently about? And I don't just mean you feel we don't need a linebacker because we signed one.
Yeah, what happens to me is that, you know, during the regular season I record every single SEC game and I record every ACC game, and I try to record as many Pac-12 games, Big-12 games as I can, right? But I usually don't have many of those, right? So I come into the draft season with my preconceived notions because I really don't look into the draft until the body is dead, okay? Like, I want to see the corpse of the Dolphins laid before me, and then I'll start thinking about the offseason, right? So as soon as they lost in Kansas City, I started thinking about, okay, let me think about the offseason. I started thinking about free agency, and I got into the draft run-up a little bit late. So I was left with the preconceived notions that I had about the college football season. And the teams that I saw both LSU wide receivers. I remember Brian Thomas. I remember liking Brian Thomas a lot. The more you start comparing, contrast and comparing, all of these guys is when you start getting, you know, a different sense of the draft. So I think that's what's happened to me. I've changed my mind on a lot of these players coming out of the regular season, the regular college season.
What jumps up? One example, what jumps up?
I think it's the Brian Thomas, Xavier Leggett example.
That's exactly
I watched the wrong South Carolina games. I also watched the wrong, you know, Michigan games, evidently, because I just don't see it with J.J. McCarthy and that guy's flying up boards. But we'll see. We'll see. We've seen this before. We've seen the propaganda machine grab a hold of a prospect, and then the guy's just sitting there until the 20s, okay? I remember when Aaron Rodgers was supposed to go second overall, and he was a real possibility to Miami. And there he was, sitting around until late in the first round, and the Packers took him. Evidently, that was a mistake, right?
Listen, one final quick one.
Yes.
I noticed PFF Dolphins on Twitter today said that they characterized the Dolphins' needs in the draft as interior O-line, tight end, and cornerback, to which my first thought was, they're getting better drugs than me. Can you make a case for that at all? Cornerback, tight end?
No, none whatsoever. Tight end is a draft of opportunity because I really believe that there's probably three that can help. Cornerback, there's also like three that can really help. I think to take any of those guys, there has to be a trade down and more ammo so they could go in another direction. So no, I think PFF is pretty much wrong here. All right. Thank you, Dundee. Now, I will bring another one of you up here. Remember to identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are. All right, you're up.
Dolphins craze. I just wanted to celebrate the downfall of the Buffalo Bills.
Well, it's not over. You know,
trading.
They're not dead. They're not dead, you know.
They stubbed the toe. Hopefully.
They stubbed the toe, and it's probably broken. Let's just keep it at that.
Yeah, you mentioned the betting odds. Their Super Bowl odds went from +1,200 to +1,600.
Nice.
They went from +130 to win the division to +160. And according to FanDuel, we're +170, Jets +240.
Nice.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
So so they're just a bet away from me, from us overtaking them, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So my question is, today, ESPN Plus by Fields 8, they had a mock draft where Miami got Byron Murphy at 21 and Christian Haynes at 55. Do you think there's any other possibility of two players at those positions, at those point in the draft, that they could even do better than that? Because I think that'd be perfect.
That's insane.
I
think that's an insane Saturday hole.
Saturday of the draft weekend, if that happened the first two nights, I think we'd be celebrating. We'd be running naked in the town of Miami.
Yeah, that is a haul. That's a perfect, you know, first 2 days of the draft. It just is. It's like you can't do much better than that. Like those are two very highly touted prospects. Some of the best at their position. You can't like and two clean prospects and two prospects ready to contribute right away. So yeah, like I'd love for that to happen. Absolutely.
They're not one for ones for Christian Wilkins or Robert Hunt, but I think they'd slide in well. And in the offseason of 2028, they'll leave for huge contracts and we'll have another Black Monday.
Yeah. Byron Murphy will leave for a $200 million contract and Christian Haynes will leave for a $150 million contract. Yeah.
Yeah, another Black Monday.
Yeah.
If you're having Black Mondays every couple of years, I think you're doing actually pretty well.
Yeah, it's the end of the world.
The media's saying that about you.
Yeah, it's the end of the world. Let's all drink the Kool-Aid and sing around and hold our hands or put on our tennis shoes. Go to sleep.
Yeah, so do you think – I know we're all excited right now about Byron Murphy, but – would you prefer him or Johnny Newton, personally?
Wow.
Because they're both a little different.
Yeah, very different. Probably Newton, you know? I'm more for a little bit more size on the interior. Byron Murphy is, like, he's that quintessential three-tech type, you know, that could kick out to five. His tape is just so good is the thing. Like he's such a good player that you forget that he is kind of minuscule for the position, you know? So probably Newton.
Yeah, he had, I think It was Kyle today on one of his podcasts said they he had like 100 pressures in the last two seasons on Illinois.
That's
it's like
crazy.
And who it's like he has anybody around him. Like Illinois, like if anything, they've been producing defensive backs the last few years, but he's their first defensive guy. But yeah, that's like if I don't know. It's like a one man team him and he's still doing that. That's insane.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, man. If you don't have anything else, man, I got to get to more people. I got a lot of questions.
Nah, you're good.
All right, cool, man.
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. All right, as I bring you up, identify yourself. This guy's kind of like a celebrity on the network.
Al, what's going on?
What's up,
How
man?
You guys doing? Good, 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 man. Having a great day. The Bills, love it. Anyway, question for you. With Barton, it's I'm having some trouble. We're saying he's a first round talent. Well, he's gonna go to first round more than likely, but he's more guard center, and there's not a lot of drafted guard center. But in the last couple of years, I don't think. Do you think he can likely be there around the second round, maybe close to where our pick is? Much like how JPJ is falling, because I felt JPJ was going to likely be around where Creed was, you know, around the 50s, 60s. And then now Barton, which, you know, you guys showed not really good as a tackle, even though he has experience, preferably more interior. Looks like he'll probably be a better center than guard. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Barton checks all the boxes because, first of all, he was good as a tackle on his tape. But I like to evaluate, you know, how good he's going to be as a guard in the NFL by how many times he played uncovered. They played a lot of unbalanced lines, and they played a lot of six offensive linemen in the run game. And he played inside of an offensive lineman in the run game. And, man, I just like how he hits landmarks. I don't know if you guys saw his RAS scores. RAS scores through the roof. But on tape, you could see him hit those landmarks as good as anybody. Like, look, Butch Berry likes to teach outside zone differently than some people like to teach it. And he likes to divide the defensive players in half. Okay? So think of the left shoulder. Remember, as he's facing you, okay? Left shoulder, which is his right shoulder. And his right shoulder, which is his left shoulder, right? And cut him in half as he moves farther away. Because remember that defensive linemen and defensive players are allowed to move. They're allowed to move everywhere. The offensive players are not allowed to move unless you're a wide receiver or running back and you're going in motion. And then you can only go one at a time. But offensive linemen cannot move, right? So they're static. If you're at left guard, which is where I think Grant Barton projects to start as a rookie, wherever he goes, in my opinion. Okay, and you divide the defensive player in half, left and right. That left shoulder, let's say, and you guys are just going to have to bear with me here. You're just going to have to look it up. I can't be explaining this as well. But let's say you're the guard, right, and you have a three tech, okay? Three tech, remember, he plays in between the guard and the tackle. And you're required on outside zone to get to that left shoulder. Grant Barton shows essentially a 1,000 batting average getting to that left shoulder. Okay, here's where it gets better. All right, as a five tech, head up on the tackle. All right, Grant Barton also shows nearly a 1,000 batting percentage getting to that left shoulder. When you see that happen over and over and over again, you say to yourself, this guy's a perfect fit for outside zone. He's a perfect fit for the Shanahan system, and he's going to do great if he's in that system as a rookie in the NFL. Because, quite frankly, you don't have to go kill people out there once you get out there. Just get in the way. Once you get out there, the thing is getting out there. Once you can get out there, just get in the way, you made your block. You helped the run play. Simple as that.
That's how you stay in the league for a long time, too. So,
yeah,
I agree. Absolutely. It makes a lot of sense.
No, absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. No, thank you. All right, I'm going to try to get to as many questions as I can here, as we're running a little long, but I'm going to try to fit them all in here. All right, first question. When pick 21 comes up, what three names do you want to see still there? And out of those three, who would you take? Great question. I would want to see my three top guys at three positions of need. Interior offensive line, defensive tackle, and wide receiver. I would want to see Xavier Leggett, Grant Barton, and Johnny Newton. Okay? Who would I take? Man. You got to tackle me to not take Xavier Leggett. I got to be honest with you. Because I think I could fake it enough to find a defensive tackle at 55. You know what I mean? And an interior offensive lineman at 55. But Xavier Leggett, I do believe he's special. And, man, at 21, it might be a slight reach. I don't care. Was DK Metcalf a reach when everybody let him, you know, fall into, I believe, the second round? So, yes. Those are the three guys. All right, next one. Hey, Alf, do head coaches do anything in the offseason to prepare for, train for in-game decisions? Basically, does Mike McDaniel play Madden to simulate games? It's a great question. Okay, they actually do. They do not play Madden. But they do some mock games. They do that. They do mock games during OTAs. They do mock games in training camp. So, you know, and what is a mock game? Very simple. They have some officials. They send in plays. They relay plays just like they would to the offense. They line up, and then they don't run the play. But it's essentially like a dress rehearsal. As far as in the office, I think they review their own decisions, and they plan on making them better. Next question, would you dangle a 2025 second to trade up if one of the three top wide receivers or Bowers falls? No, I would dangle one of the thirds, maybe both thirds. But a second, I would only, you know, I would really, really hold myself to the line where, you know, you got to believe your board, right? If the Dolphins believe that there's a team right before Miami that's going to take one of their guys, and you can move three spots and it's going to cost you a third rounder next year, do it. Second rounder, man, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. That's too rich for my blood. Very, very deep draft in the positions that they need guys. Next question. If you were the GM, what are your first two picks this year? Wide receiver and a defensive tackle is what I would go with. Or wide receiver and interior offensive lineman is what I would go with. What are the long-term financial implications of taking an offensive lineman early in the draft, given that they can take a long time to get up to speed? It's a great question because you're essentially going to wait. If you take one in the first round, first of all, he's not going to be cheap. He's going to cost you a pretty penny against the cap. And when I mean a pretty penny, he's going to cost you more than what most of your starters are getting paid. All right? So he's pretty much going to have to be a starter. And if you can't get up to speed, then you're having a substandard starter for, you know, starter money. That's a mistake. That's a problem, okay? The only benefit is if you're going to take a guy who you figure is going to be your franchise tackle for a very long time and you get the fifth-year option, okay? Did that help them with Austin Jackson? Not really, because they didn't even dig into that. They extended him. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Next question. Do you find it odd that X doesn't have a deal yet? Nope. I think he values himself very highly. I think he's probably shocked at what was out there for him. And it's drying up, by the way. Right now, as it stands, he's waiting on that June 1st money. I still believe he signed something similar to what Stephon Gilmore last signed. Something like 2 years, $20 million, something like that from somebody. Low guarantee. Probably Dallas is my bet. Who is the very best fit to this team scheme for offensive line and wide receiver? Offensive line, obviously, is Grant Barton. I like Walter Rouse as the tackle later on from Oklahoma. Wide receiver, Xavier Leggett, Malachi Corley, Roman Wilson, Ladd McConkey are the best fits. Let me see. How would you use next year's draft picks this year? Given we are, I just said that, given we are going to have quite a few, when will you use them and on what? If I need to go two or three spots, I dangle one of those third rounders. Other than that, I want more picks, not less. Especially when you're going to have a pretty expensive team and you're going to have to fill in the depth with draft picks. Pick one at 21. Thomas Jr., Fatano, Newton. Fatano. Although, man, Newton. Oof, like, it's rough, right? All right, next question. Crazy that Allen and Herbert lose their weapons. By the way, somebody on Twitter started calling Justin Herbert Justin Perbert, and I'm juvenile, so I found that extremely funny. Lose their weapons in the same year, although Herbs might get MH Jr. Maybe? Maybe not. It feels like Allen might get one in the first round as well. I do predict OBJ could go to the Bills. No. Doubtful. OBJ is not the Buffalo kind of guy. Okay. People are arguing over that now. All right. Somebody says, John Simpson worries me. Yeah, he's a pretty good player, man. Had one good year as a Raven. Can he do it elsewhere where there might not be as much consistency? Yeah, the hope is that he's going to suck, right, now that he's a Jet. But he was pretty good last year. Pretty good player, man. You know? Somebody's praising my Ryan Hayes love. Do you think we'll see Cam Smith get a real shot this season? He will get a real shot this season because he's in a position to get one. Now, he's not in the top two, but he can be in the top three, and the top three will play maybe 85, 90% of the snaps. So we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of snaps up for grabs for Cam Smith. It's up to him to go get them. We draft a cornerback before the sixth. I would lose it. Well, there's a couple of cornerbacks that are pretty tempting. Let's just say that. Somebody says, it was funny listening to those that shall not be named trying to convince people that X at this stage is still better than Fuller. He's not. Maybe really fully healthy X, which he never is. But will be ever be that again? Doubtful. I mean, having 27 kids jumping on you takes it out of you. No comment on that. Well, maybe a trade back from 21 and then take Leggett. Yeah, ideal world, of course, and get more picks. Last question, and we made it past 30 minutes. Do you agree on two Kyle takes? Thomas Jr. is just slightly faster than Devontae Parker, and Penix inaccurate intermediate and short and slow arm motion. Penix has a windup, okay? And it's more noticeable than ever the more you watch him. He has a windup and a hitch, which means slow release. Problem. Huge red flag in the NFL. Okay? Tape is good, though. Really, really good player. Do I think he's going to be a good pro? Maybe. Do I think he could be an absolute galactic bust? Absolutely. Would I take him if I needed a quarterback, let's say, in the mid-first round? Yes, I would take him. I think the upside is there. I think the risk and the reward is weighed in such a way where the reward blows away the risk at this point. I made my own list as far as my own checklist of the draftability of these guys, and then I've done my own look-see. He's firmly my fourth quarterback. I just don't get J.J. McCarthy. I just don't get it. He's my fourth quarterback in here. I keep going back and forth between two and three. You know I like Caleb first. Two and three, May, Daniels. I'm just not sure. Really tempted to put Daniels second. Really am. May 3rd, Penix 4th. That's how I kind of see it. J.J. McCarthy, I don't care. And what was the other take? Is Thomas Jr. just slightly faster than Devontae Parker? Let me see, man. You look at the tape, and then you start looking at the facts, which is he did play with a pretty damn good wide receiver, all right, in Malik Nabers. He runs a ton of slot fades. There's not much film of him giving you yak. The route tree seems to be that of I beat up on, you know, three-star cornerbacks that are not going to make it in the NFL. Yeah, you know, the Devontae Parker stigma is thick with Brian Thomas Jr. Would I take a chance? I probably still would, but it's one of those things that once you see it, you can't unsee it. I like other guys much, much, much better. All right, we're going to have to call it right here. We do this every single week on OnlyFans. If you want to participate, you can become a member of OnlyFans. You go to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you become a member there for $3 a month. By the way, last question. I'll just take it. It says, is it possible to take Leggett at 21? It's a reach. I'd do it anyway. All right, we will talk to you again next week. We will do this all year. So talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.